Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Through the Healthcare Unburdened Grant Program, the Canadian Medical Association, CMA, MD Financial Management Incorporated, and Scotiabank have awarded $1 million to Kingston Health Sciences Centre, KHSC, and Southeastern Ontario Hospital Partners to explore use of generative artificial intelligence as administrative support for healthcare providers. According to the CMA, physicians spend an estimated 18.5 million hours on administrative tasks each year. The CMA also states physicians report working more than 10 hours per week outside of the normal workday on administrative tasks. This means physicians often split their time and attention between their patients and this workload, contributing to physician burnout and patient dissatisfaction. Through the Healthcare Unburdened Grant Program, the CMA offered $10 million in grants to help physicians reclaim lost time and improve patient care. At KHSC and five partner hospitals in southeastern Ontario, this initiative will assess the impact of using AI to assist with tasks like recording patient interactions, synthesizing information, and generating clinical notes. Specifically, they will investigate the impact on physician efficiency and well-being. I sat down with Dr. David Pecora, President and CEO of KHSC, to talk about this new initiative.
This is a very big announcement. I was wondering how this will impact the daily lives of healthcare professionals and patients in Kingston and what kind of potential this research has.
Well, that's what we want to evaluate, mm-hmm. is how it will impact physicians and secondarily patients. This research initiative comes out of the Canadian Medical Association in recognizing that there's a significant, we'll call it administrative burden associated with practicing medicine nowadays in general. Healthcare has become more complex, and the system is now very reliant on computer records. And so that has been, many physicians would say that a lot of administrative work has been downloaded to them as the system has evolved and become more computer-based. And that's an oversimplification, but a lot of physicians would feel that way. And so we know that, especially in the U.S., when these large-scale health information systems were being implemented, similar to the ones that we're now installing, there was a lot of administrative work. Application required a lot of data entry and processing and sign-offs by physicians. Things had to be done in a timely fashion, and it created a significant burden for many physicians, and it varied from one discipline to another. And this was so significant that many physicians or their groups or their hospitals hired human scribes to basically work at the elbow of the physician, taking notes, creating the record for that patient interaction, writing orders, writing prescriptions, doing things like that to offload some of that administrative work, especially the redundant or duplicative work that physicians mm-hmm. had to do. And that provided physicians to be more efficient in their time use, so their day wasn't extended by hours of admin work to catch up. It provided patients with, or physicians with, more face-to-face time with their patients, which is what they want. And so that improved the quality of the visit for the patient too, not just the physician, but also for the patient. And But the problem with scribes is, you know, hiring good ones is not easy. It's not always easy. They're not easy to find. And it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian system, it really isn't much of an option. There's probably a few examples of this, but it's not widespread. And but with the advent of more advanced AI and machine learning technologies, the concept now of having a digital scribe rather than a human scribe is with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we evaluate the effectiveness of this. You know, it's still not cheap, but it's probably far more affordable than hiring the human person that we can't find anyways. And you know, we think that at the outset, it will be about recording and then reformatting the text into the structure of a normal physician-patient interaction. And those kinds of tools are here today. So it's not, this is not imagining the future. In the future, there may be evolutions with AI becoming a bit more automated and starting to, you know, as the AI modules learn more and more about how a structured record then turns into physician orders, we may see, especially for things that are repetitive, we may see AI starting to recommend x-rays, recommend blood tests, even prescription medications that might be required.
Mm-hmm.
Not what we're doing yet, but that might be in the future. All of this is still dependent, though, on physician validation. The physician has to review the record that the AI algorithm will produce and make sure it's accurate and appropriate. You know, the key points, the diagnoses that are summarized, is that actually the essence of today's visit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of this study is to not just assume that AI is going to be better, although it probably will be, but to really evaluate just where the value add is. And what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? Where are the, the pitfalls that we have to be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. And the funding is secured. I know we're waiting till after some new systems are also installed at KHSC sites. When do you foresee this getting started?
Well, so the implementation of our new health information system has been a project that, first of all, involves all six Southeast hospitals, not just KHSC.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in itself a big advantage of this study. And it was one of the factors that appealed to the CMA, because we aren't just going to have urban physicians. We'll have rural physicians, small hospital physicians, large hospital physicians. And in the case of Providence Care, what's called post-acute hospital physicians who work in a separate dimension of the healthcare system. So that range and diversity of physicians and practice settings, it's a huge appeal to evaluating the AI. So it's not just about how well does it work in the ICU at KHSC. It's going to be how well does it work at Lennox and Addington. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So big value there. The go live for this project, for the health information system, is slated for December of this year. So this is a many years in the making project that will go live in December. We don't see that as an end date, though. We see that more as a start date for the implementation of this. So, you know, the system will undergo optimization as we go forward from that date, and physicians and nurses and everybody else will have to get comfortable using it. Now, we'll be starting intensive training next month to get people ready for December. But nevertheless, actually using it day-to-day, patient after patient, using it efficiently and confidently, there's a learning curve to that. So our feeling was that we didn't want to complicate or confound a study of AI implementation with the impact of people getting used to the new health information system. So what we're thinking is delaying 6 months. So, you know, roughly now, this time next year, June or July of next year, would be when we would start the AI study. Now, maybe we'll be ready sooner, but we're estimating 6 months post go live, so that we're studying the AI and not studying the implementation of the health information system.
And has this been spearheaded in a similar way elsewhere that you know of, or is this kind of new territory on a larger scale than just southeastern Ontario?
Well, these AI algorithms are already in place. I mean, I've used AI assisted voice recognition dictation for a few years now. So, you know, physicians are used to it in many ways. And many of the things that we're doing now, you know, your iPhone's going to be AI enabled with the next iOS upgrade. And a lot of the, you know, we just installed a new CAT scanner at our Hotel Du site that has AI algorithms to evaluate heart function. So it's not that it's coming tomorrow, because it's here today, but it will continue to evolve and grow. And we want to make, and it's not cheap, right? It doesn't come, it's not magic, and it's not free. And so, you know, the more evidence-based decision-making we can have around what's going to make the most difference, how do we implement it, what's the most affordable way to implement it, but certainly improving the life of physicians and the care that we provide to patients is going to make a big deal. And of course, you know, if this works well for physicians, it's highly unlikely that we would limit AI to just doctors. You know, there's bound to be, and I know there will be, applications for nurses, for therapists, for all kinds of other folks that participate in the healthcare system, not just physicians.
Yeah, and like you're saying there, I guess a lot of us hear AI and think it's something of the future, but it's very much in use now and already incorporated in a lot of the things we use every day. But what potential challenges do you foresee in this process?
You know, one of the fundamental ones is critically evaluating the effectiveness of this and being sure that as a system, physicians recognize the strengths and the limitations of AI. It's not perfect. It makes mistakes. And it's getting better all the time. That's certainly been my own experience. The voice recognition software that I use today is a whole lot better than what I had from the same vendor 3-4 years ago. But nevertheless, it still needs fact-checking. And this will too, right? Physicians are going to have to go back and make sure, you know, that is what this interview was about. These are the key points that come out of it.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC 101.9 FM, sitting down with Dr. David Bikora to discuss upcoming AI studies at KHSC and partner hospitals. As stated by Dr. Bikora, the project will begin following the implementation of the new health information system across the 6 hospital organizations in the next year. To learn more about the project, visit the CMA's website at cma.ca. That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Lauren Tucker with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks so much, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. From July 8th to 13th, the Ground Up Dance Festival, Kingston's only professional dance festival, returns for its third year, featuring Unmoored by Order of Canada recipient Peggy Baker, as well as 6 dance pieces by local artists, classes, and an opening night party at Musiki Cafe, which features a panel about local collaborative dance. Admission to classes and performances varies, and some pay-what-you-can options are available, and you can visit groundupdancefestival.ca for more information. You can also tune in to this past week's Kingston Curator for an interview with festival producer Camille Spencer and featured dancers Shanique Pert and Chanel Williams if you're looking for more. Right now at the Union Gallery is the summer exhibition The Garden of Forbidden Fruits and Laws of Cosmic Consciousness by Kelby James in the Project Room, running from now until July 27th. This mixed media installation features screen prints, textiles, and found objects, and this work aims to illuminate queer psychedelic experiences through rich visual language and material process. The Union Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday and it is free to peruse, and for more information you can visit uniongallery.queensu.ca. On Now at Modern Fuel Art Gallery are several summer exhibitions. In the window gallery is Bag Belly Box House by Joy Wong, which features textile works created from kombucha and explores the materialism of culture and reflects ideas of nourishment and preservation, motherlands, and predicaments of care. In the State of Flux Gallery is The In-Between by Laura Lewis, a figurative painting exhibition featuring renderings of two LGBTQ+ artists, featuring four large-scale paintings that are a part of a larger body of work, exploring psychosexuality, queerness, melancholy, identity, and community. In the main gallery is Playful Encounters, featuring multiple works from Modern Fuel members. These exhibitions run until July 20th, and Modern Fuel is open for you to peruse Tuesday through Saturday. These exhibitions run until July 20th. Modern Fuel is located in the TET Center and is open for you to peruse Tuesday through Saturday. And for more, you can visit modernfuel.org. Tickets for this year's Theatre Kingston Fringe Festival went on sale on June 20th, and the full lineup has now been announced. This year's festival runs 11 days from August 1st to 11th across three venues and includes 18 shows. Single show tickets and dash passes are now available at kingstongrand.ca. And to learn more about Fringe and all the uncensored, uncurated, and unboring shows hitting the festival this year, you can visit Theatre Kingston. This Tuesday, July 9th, and every summer Tuesday, you can head on down to Springer Market Square for Salsa in the Square. From 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., enjoy a free beginner class, and then hit the open dance floor until 10 p.m. Also in Springer Market Square every Wednesday summer evening, enjoy Swingin' Summer, a live music throwback to the era of romantic, joyful, and jazzy songs from 7 to 8 p.m. And every summer Friday evening, Springer Market Square hosts Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live local country. For more on these events, visit downtownkingston.ca. Registration for summer term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops and summer camps. Coming up in July is adult programming like Exploring Realism with Charcoal, Realism in Oil, Shading 101, Intro to Printmaking, Intermediate Print Space, Intro to Sculpture, and Paper Mache Sculpture. Youth programs include Drawing Fundamentals and Intro to Sculpture. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. And every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in four more rounds of trivia, whether you're going it solo or in a team with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with a $50 gift card and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. Kingston welcomes back Movies in the Square in Springer Market Square on Thursday summer evenings, and the full lineup has now been announced. This week, on July 11th, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning starts at dusk. And this summer you can mark your calendars for Barbie on July 18th, The Italian Job on July 25th, A League of Their Own on August 1st, Beetlejuice on August 8th, Freaky Friday on August 15th, Night at the Museum Battle of the Smithsonian on August 22nd, and Lilo and Stitch on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendars now and bring your blankets, chairs, and bug spray to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. And coming up at the screening room, you can catch these special screenings of Pulp Fiction on July 9th, 10th, and 11th, Reality Bites on July 12th, 16th, and 18th as part of the Alternative 90s series, and a Cinema Society of Kingston screening of Now and Then on July 14th. There's also new arrivals and special screenings all the time, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for all of your cinema adventures. That's all I've got for you today on Arts Desk. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Wednesday, July 10th, 2024. This is part two of our in-depth preview of the 2024 OUA football season. Today we'll be discussing the McMaster Marauders. The McMaster Marauders are one of the more interesting teams in the OUA. In 2023, they finished 10th out of 11 teams with a 2-6 record. But they had a positive point differential of 191 to 187, and if you look at the games they lost, many were by one score or less. Their home opener was against the Windsor Lancers, one of the surprise teams in the OUA, and they lost to a very strong Windsor team, 21-17. And this is a Windsor team that would thump Queens later that same year, beating them by 24-plus points. They lost to Western by 12, they lost to Guelph by 8, surprisingly, in a loss that would cost the Marauders the playoffs, they fell to the University of Toronto Varsity Blues 33-19. They beat Waterloo 31-19, and they lost to a strong Ottawa team 23-9. So McMaster, save for the Laurier game, was never out of any of the contests they played. They kept it within 1 to 2 touchdowns consistently. And yet, despite that, the thing that hurt McMaster the most in 2023 was timely turnovers. McMaster was a great first half football team, but they would often struggle in the fourth quarter. Their starting quarterback Anders Duick, who will not be returning in 2024, would put up large passing yardage numbers, but also led the league in interceptions. The 2024 Marauders will return many defensive starters on a unit that was middle of the pack. It showed flashes of brilliance and often kept the team in games, but it still surrendered more points than you would expect, largely due to poor field positioning. With that strong defense, a new starting quarterback, and a former Coach of the Year award winner in Steph Ptasik, the Marauders have a lot of solid building blocks, and I do expect a bounce back season in 2024. I would not be surprised if McMaster made it back to the playoffs after 2 consecutive years of missing it on the last game of the season. As a program, the Marauders often give the Gaels fits, and that was true in 2022 when these two teams last played. It was a defensive slugfest on a cold, wet day at Richardson Stadium, and trust me, Queens was lucky to escape with a hard-fought victory. Queens will host MAC for their home opener on Saturday, August 31st. It's a rare night game at Richardson Stadium with a 6 p.m. kickoff. I expect that to be a close contest between two teams that have lofty ambitions. Two teams looking to rebound from seasons where I think it's fair to say they did not perform up to their best. Overall, I think MAC will be a fringe playoff team, and they could be a popular pick to upset one of the incumbents out west. Don't be surprised if Steph Ptasik gets his guys to rise to the occasion. There's a reason he's a former Coach of the Year. This concludes your sports report. This is Jesse Bell signing off and leaving you with a preview promo for the Queens McMaster football game on Saturday, August 31st. For 142 years, the Queens Gaels have called Kingston home. The tricolor has become as synonymous with the city as the limestone upon which it was built. But that love, admiration, and respect comes with a powerful commitment. A pledge to protect this house. On Saturday, August 31st, the Queens Gaels will host the McMaster Marauders for their home opener at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. and CFRC's coverage will begin at 5:45.
Now it's time for your weekly traffic report for this evening. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 westbound at Sydenham Road off-ramp, expect a lane and ramp closure during the following dates and times. Tonight, July 8th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. July 9th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. July 10th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. and July 11th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In road closures to look out for, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, closed until September 1st for a buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street at Plaster Arms to north end of King closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. Road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. And finally, University Avenue, Union to Earl is still closed for the Queens JDUC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. Work is expected to conclude in late December of 2024. No more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Bath Road, concession to Queen Mary, expect delays until July 22nd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day to accommodate roadway crack rehabilitation. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. For project details, you can visit getinvolvedkingston.ca. Garner's Road, at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect a lane closure to complete enhanced flood protection at Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. The lane closure will be controlled by a temporary traffic signal. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. King Street, Morton to Ellerbeck, expect a lane closure July 11th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. for City of Kingston forestry crews to prune a tree. Sir John and MacDonald Boulevard, Union to Princess, expect delays until July 22nd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day to accommodate roadway crack rehabilitation. That wraps up your traffic report for this evening, and next up is Paige Lang with your concerts and events calendar for this week.
It's time for CFRC's concert and events calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through CFRC.ca today. On Thursday, July 11th, be a friend of the devil with the China Cat Riders. Sway, dance, and sing to your favorite Grateful Dead covers from 7 to 10 p.m. at Hotel Wolf Island. Admission is free. The Mansion welcomes you for an event hosting many of your favorite Kingston bands and singer-songwriters such as Les Ismore, Emily Steele and the Deal, Frank Ryan, and more. Doors at 7 p.m. The event is $15 to attend. Come to the 3rd Annual Taxi Community Barbecue for delicious food, good tunes, and to celebrate community. The barbecue is on Division Street and runs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's an event you don't want to miss. Who doesn't love a romantic movie outdoors? This Thursday at Springer Market Square, watch 90s rom-com 10 Things I Hate About You. The movie starts when the sun goes down, and don't forget extra cash for popcorn and drinks. On Friday, July 12th, the club at the RCHA with KBS presents the Fade Kings, bringing you soulful R&B, classic rock, and smooth jazz for just $15. Enjoy the show from 8 to 11 p.m. Enjoy soft melodic folk with Smith Falls brother duo The Family Name at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. this Friday. Admission is by donation. The Mansion hosts Freddie Freeloader, Third Time's a Charm, and Intro Bang for a night of rock and roll inspired tunes from 9 to 12 a.m. Tickets are $15 at the door. Join Tegan McLaren for Kickin' It Country in Springer Market Square. Put on your cowboy boots and swing by 7 to 8 p.m. Friday night. This event is free. At the Toucan this Friday night, solo guitarist Quentin Cautry is playing an acoustic set that is sure to get your toes tapping. The show is 5 to 8 p.m. and free to attend. Swing by the Fresh Food Market at the YMCA for produce and pre-made food from the local chefs of Kingston. The market runs from 9:30 to 12:30 p.m. and is free to attend and for all ages. Practice your best Waylon Jennings song and come to the Buckle this Friday night for country karaoke. The event is 19 plus and runs from 9 to 12 a.m. Also swing by Daft Karaoke for a couple pints and some fun. The event is 9 to 12 p.m. as well and is free cover. On Saturday, July 13th, swing by Confederation Park for Latin-inspired tunes with Django's Kitchen, Oscar Bosax, and Mauricio and the Latin Beat Band. The music runs from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and the event is for all ages. Grab a bite and enjoy the show at the Creekside Bar and Grill. Big Fat Horn Band is bringing you that brassy sound for just $35. The show starts at 5 p.m. Get your groove on with Nison and Matt Almeida this Saturday at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar. Enjoy a drink and watch the show from 8 to 11 p.m. Admission is $15. Dust off your cowboy boots and swing by Tiernanog for Southern Ale. Enjoy the country and rock tunes from 9 to 12 a.m. for free. Enjoy your Saturday and walk around Springer Market Square for the public market. There is fresh produce, vendors, crafted jewelry, and more. The market is for all ages and runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. Celebrate summer at Fort Henry with the YGK Kite and Food Festival. Enjoy colorful kites and a beautiful view of the St. Lawrence River. There is fun, food, and festivities. The event runs from 12 to 8 p.m. and is for all ages. S5 Waves is presenting their 5th annual Awesome Ice Cream Social at Lake Ontario Park. There is treats, mimes, face painting, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m., the event is free and fun for all ages. On Sunday, July 14th, KPP Concerts presents Theo from Gob, Acoustic Across Canada at the Broom Factory with guests Chris Royer, I Was a Teenage Frankenstein, and Dennis Clark. Tickets are $25 and the door is at 2 p.m. Come to the Waterside Patio and enjoy the folk, jazz, and classic rock with Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn. From 5 to 8 p.m., take in the summer weather and relax this Sunday. Admission is by donation. Shake up your Sunday with flamenco pop guitarist Mauricio Montesinos. Enjoy the patio at the Creekside Bar and Grill and listen to the tunes from 5 to 7 p.m. This event is free to attend. Why not spend a Sunday dinner with some soulful jazz? No hassle, just good jazz. Come to the Hotel Wolf Island for Standards at 7 for a dinner time set. From 4 to 7 p.m., admission is by donation. Grab your yoga mat and head down to Battery Park to start your week right with free yoga in the park. Relax and rejuvenate from 10 to 11 p.m. The yoga is for all ages and abilities. Have a few songs you want to try out? Head to the Buckle this Sunday for open mic. All amps are provided, all you need is your instrument and your lovely voice. The open mic runs from 7 to 10 p.m. and is free to attend. This concludes CFRC's weekly concert and events calendar. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.